Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Okay, everybody in the social room can come on into the worship room. Let's open the Word of God to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I've been working on 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to have to move at a much faster pace in chapter 3 and following. I didn't mind slowing down for chapter 2 because it is one of the four or five great chapters on the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. So it's something we need to fully grasp and understand and utilize in our life. But we need to pick up the pace a little bit. Yes? Do what now? Probably rather than syllable by syllable, word by word. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer is to test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Spirit who is the true teacher. Let us pray. Father, in the time in which we live, it is getting more and more difficult to find the truth taught of the gospel on how to be saved eternally. And Heavenly Father, the power source, how to be filled with the Spirit, is so in want in our society today, even among the body of Christ, or especially among the body of Christ. It is in the power of the Holy Spirit that we're seeing that we learn and understand the things that are hidden in the Scriptures, the mysteries, Heavenly Father. So we are so thankful that you have given to us your Spirit. And Father, we pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you'd have us to see, Father. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we have moved to verse 14 in chapter 2. Almost completed the study of chapter 2. But again, a very important chapter in the Bible, dealing predominantly with the Holy Spirit. In chapter 2, verse 14, but a natural man, and this is in contrast with the end of verse 13, which says, combining spiritual with spiritual beings, spiritual creature. But the natural man, in contrast to him, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. Why not? They are foolishness to him. And we studied this last week. And now we come to the next part in the verse that we where we left off. And that is, the spiritual man, but he who is spiritual, verse 50, well, then to verse 14, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. He cannot. Now, the word because introduces the ground reason why he cannot, he himself cannot understand the things of God because they are spiritually appraised. Well, this is our old friend, pneumatikos, which is the word for spiritually. And so as opposed to the natural man, and that is psychikos, and we've well documented those. So we have spiritually appraised. The King James and the NIV say spiritually discerned. This will help us see that we're on the right track in our translation in verse 13, revealing spiritual phenomenon to spiritual beings. Here we have spiritually appraised or spiritually discerned, present, passive, indicative, anakrino. And anakrino in 1 Corinthians is the only place where Paul uses anakrino. And so first note in verse 13, revealing. And we translated the Greek word in verse 13, revealing. and it says combining, but it is revealing spiritual thoughts, spiritual creatures. And you'll recall that word is sugkrino. So Paul is making a play on the words here. And so we have, I'll just transliterate for you, sugkrino. Well, I started to write the Greek word. K-R-I-N-O, sugkrino. And that's the word in verse 13. Now he uses another word to bring about this distinction. And here we have anakrino, A-N-A-K-R-I-N-O. Now, krino is the word to judge, to appraise, to assess, to make distinctions. It has a variety of inferences. Morgan, how you doing this morning? You come in late. We're so crowded. You come in late and your seat's gone. And, man, I mean... Oh, I've had a few funerals where the people were late. And the driver got disoriented. So, and I think the most humorous funeral, not humorous, but I thought it was rather interesting. We were on in the funeral procession, and you know they have these motorcycle police that guide them along. Well, this guy went across from this side of the street, and he cut in between the funeral, which big deal. But I mean, the policeman pulled him over and wrote him up, and because it's against the law to do that. And so I figured, I hope that guy was a believer. He gets to heaven, you know. The day you die, they buried you. I got a ticket because of you, you bum. And, so, all right, so we're glad to see you, Morgan. All right, so we have sugkrino, verse 13, and anakrino, and that's in verse 15, verse 14. And so sugkrino and anakrino. Now, the thing about anakrino means to judge, to discern, to judge accurately. The natural man is incapable of discerning or receiving things of God. They demand the power of the Holy Spirit, which he does not possess. And so here we have anakrino. And the thing about anakrino, it's in the passive. And the passive voice means that we receive it. Look what it says now, because he himself cannot understand the things of God because they are spiritually appraised. The word appraised is what we're looking at. And we receive the spiritually appraising of different things. We'll take a look at those things in a moment. But it means that we receive these. So even though saved, even though we are a new spiritual creature, we're still in need of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit to make discernment, to appraise things in life. And this is exactly what we look like when we're not in the power of the Holy Spirit, people. This is the way we are. You want to know what you look like in the flesh? You're not able to make proper appraise of circumstances in life. You're not able to appraise things. We'll take a look at the things we're to appraise in a few moments. So again, think of this thought. As an unbeliever, you were made spiritually alive by the work of the Holy Spirit. And now, when you and I are carnal, fleshly, we're acting like we're carnal again. We're acting like we're the natural man again. And that's a real shame. To be a spiritual creature and act like you're natural. And I think the most base way I can put it, even though today's society, it's not that base, but to be a married person and yet act and live like you're single. You don't get to do that. That's wrong. So that's the closest that I can come to this kind of concept. You are married, you are to act and think like a married person. You are a spiritual being. That's your state of existence, and you act like you're a natural person in the flesh when you and I are not filled with the Holy Spirit. So the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. He can't, for they are foolishness to him. And we noted a number of things, like Christ crucified is foolishness. Well, the same thing is true of multitude of believers when they're dead in sin, when fleshly carnal. It is foolishness to them that they are, all they have to do is trust the Holy Spirit to be restored again. That's foolishness. No, you've got to confess. No, you've got to repent. No, you've got to do this. No, you've got to do that. It's foolishness to many born-again believers that all you have to do to be restored is faith. Just as it is foolishness to the unbeliever that all you have to do is to believe in the one that God has sent, and that is His Son. That's foolishness. No, you've got to join a church. You've got to change your life. You've got to do this. You've got to do our list. And the same thing is true of many believers when it comes to spirituality. So the same true of multitude of believers in being restored from sin. Okay, now, it says, and he cannot understand them, neither can we have, neither can we when we're in the flesh, when we're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. And when we're not in the power of the Holy Spirit, being made alive by the Holy Spirit, being taught by the Holy Spirit, we are not spiritual and not able to make spiritual discernment. We may think we are. We may think we are. We may claim we are. But God knows better. He knows that we're not. We're doing it in the flesh. Now look what it says. They are spiritually discerned. This is describing the ministry of the Holy Spirit. When it says spiritually discerned, this is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we'll come again before we go to chapter 3. We will list all the functions of the Holy Spirit that we have learned just from chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians. And this will be one of them. They are spiritually discerned. That is, by the work of the Holy Spirit. The adverb pneuma, tikos, K-O-S, again is the root from pneuma, spirit. Here, spiritually. Now we have discerned, present passive indicative of anakrino. Have it there on the board. And verse 13, sukrino. Here we have anakrino. And it means to examine, to come to conclusions concerning. Spiritually discerned. Now, what is interesting is that this is in a passive voice. Let's us know this is a ministry of the Holy Spirit. We receive it. You don't make these. You don't make these. I used to teach wrongly. You get doctrine in your soul, and then you make decisions from that doctrine in your soul. That was being the flesh. We receive this discernment from the Holy Spirit. The flesh cannot do it. I don't care how high your IQ is. I don't care how much of the Bible you know, how much doctrine you know, all the rest of it. In the flesh, you cannot do that. Where it's honorable to God. This is a spiritual discernment that we receive. So here the passive voice becomes very important. We receive this from the Holy Spirit. So, He teaches us. He reveals these truths to us. And these are praises, and we'll come to those in a moment. He gives those to us. When we make spiritual appraisements, people that are from the Holy Spirit. Verse 15, but he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no man. All right, let's take a first look. He who is spiritual. The NIV has it correct, while the King James and the NASV have added a to be verb. The NIV says in verse 15, the spiritual man makes judgments about all things. Okay, who is the spiritual man? Who's the spiritual man? Let's note in a few things. One, this refers to the fact of salvation. They are saved by faith in Jesus Christ. Two, this person has been created a new spiritual creation. This person is a new spiritual creation. 3, activated human spirit. He has an activated human spirit which was lost in the fall, regained by faith in Christ. So he has an activated human spirit, which is part of this whole process. 4, he has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And 5, please understand this in 2 realms. First, this is the status of every born-again believer. But secondly, I have to point it out again, a believer can live, walk in his flesh nature, and imitate the psychikos, our natural man. This is a real shame, but we can do it. And every time we're in the flesh and not in the spirit, people, we're living as a natural man. We may do religious things. We may pray. We may give. We may even witness. Even come to Bible class. But we're natural. We're acting just like a natural person. So if you made the effort to get up, get dressed, and get here, be sure you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't waste your time. As it were in the sports, get in uniform. You made it to the gym, get in uniform. You made it to Bible class, get in the power of the Holy Spirit. So every one of you who have believed in Jesus Christ are spiritual, but you can act like a natural man. Every one of us is spiritual, but you can act like a natural man. But he who is spiritual appraises all things. Okay? Now the NIV says, make judgments about all things. This time we have the present active indicative of our friend Anacrino again. Same word repeated. Anacrino. To examine. To come to conclusions. Here, spiritual conclusions. Now the present active indicative shows what should be going on in our life moment by moment. But we have 3 questions that we want to approach here. First of all, what are these spiritual appraisements? 2, how are they made? And a very important why. Why are they made? And the first is the easiest, so let's take it up, and that's how. Let's take up how. How do we make these spiritual appraisements? In verse 14, we receive the discernment from the Holy Spirit. In the power of the Holy Spirit. So it is in the power of the Holy Spirit. We evaluate everything in our lives. We evaluate them spiritually, and this by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, led of the Spirit, live in the Spirit. Those words that we took up from Galatians 5, all 4 of those are from Galatians 5. And then if you want to add Ephesians, filled with the Holy Spirit. But I love Galatians 5. Led of the Spirit. Follow the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. That's how important all of this is to our lives. This is why God gave us the Holy Spirit. This is why the first thing Jesus Christ did when he after the resurrection ascension, when he was seated at the right hand of the Father, Father, send them the Holy Spirit. It's one of the first things he did. He didn't get up there and say, "Wow, you won't believe how pitiful they are down there, Father. They are pitiful." Now, you and I know it, but boy, when you're down there living with, they are pitiful. He didn't do that. He said, they're pitiful, send them the Holy Spirit. Now, he may have done that, now that I think about it. They need our Spirit. So, but the point is, this is by the Holy Spirit. This is why we need to be filled with the Spirit in our lives, live by the Spirit throughout the day. This is why we need to continually grow in the knowledge of Scripture. The Word of God. That's why Peter says, keep on growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Okay, how? In the Holy Spirit. Now, what? Second question. What are these spiritual appraises? Context. Let's deal with context. The spiritual appraises all that God has prepared for those who love Him, all these things we've seen in this chapter, all that He freely gives to every believer. This means that we appraise these wonders as of their usefulness in our lives, both now and eternity. Secondly, we appraise our lives. Everything that happens in our lives. Choices. Life is made up of choices. Friends, marriage, where we live, where we go to church and why, if we go at all. What do we do with our time? What do we do with our money? How we treat our husband, our wives, our family, friends, at work, church, social life. All these things. So this involves every area of our life making appraisements with the filling of the Holy Spirit, listening to the Holy Spirit, mature, that's verse 6 in chapter 2, in the growth in the Word of God, spiritual discernments about the circumstances, events, people. Now, this is not judging. This is not judging, making judgment. This is making spiritual appraisement. Now, let's take a look at why. Why do we make these spiritual appraisements? Not so we can run everybody else's life. You can always tell when one is led by the Spirit and when one is led by the flesh. Somebody led by the flesh wants to tell everybody what to do. Wants to run everyone's life. Straighten everyone out. Even a husband, wife, others. This is what you do. When you're in the filling of the Spirit, you do not do that. But when somebody, oh, I've got all this knowledge, I know what's best, I can run other people's lives. When they ought, what they ought to do and what they ought not to do. When they make judgment against others, they gossip, they malign, they judge. These are not imparted by the Holy Spirit. These are imparted by the natural man. The spiritual man makes these appraisements for himself. Perhaps for those who might come to him for questions and this type of deal, but he makes them in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, so that we are in the plan of God in every area of our lives. That's what's important here. So that we're in the plan of God every area of our lives. This spiritual appraisal is far superior to natural intelligence, for it relates time with eternity. It relates things going on in life with the person of Christ. It relates things going on with the plan of God for our lives. So this is relating things to reality. Remember one of the characteristics of our flesh nature? Insanity. What's insanity? Divorce from reality. When we are in the Holy Spirit, a spiritual man, we relate things to God and what is going on in God's plan. If you're not doing that, you're in darkness. You're making decisions in darkness. Look at the Gospel of John chapter 12 a moment. The Gospel of John chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 35. John 12, 35. Jesus therefore said to them, "For a little while longer, the light is among you." That's Jesus Christ. "Walk while you have the light, that the darkness may not overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he goes." So this describes the natural man. He doesn't know where he's going. This is why we need the light, the Holy Spirit, to guide us in our lives. People, life is made up of choices. We make choices every day, all day long. Come to Bible class. Come to Bible class on Sunday. Come to Bible class on Wednesday. Read the Bible. Study the Bible day in and day out in our lives. What we do with our money. What do we do with our time? Do we buy something in the material world or give it something related to the spiritual world? Praying. Praying is a choice. Who you pray to, what you pray about, who you pray for. This becomes very important. There are just a few things that are on my daily prayer list. Don't have time for the long list in every day. So, but every day I am in prayer for different things. This is why we spiritually appraise all things and all people. Not judge them. Not judge, but appraise what's going on in our lives. People, we're not to judge one another. Let's be sure we understand this is not judgment. This is not judging one another. We are to appraise all things. We are to praise our own goals and objectives. And make this appraisal in the power of the Spirit according to Scripture. Now, what's the difference between making an appraisement and judgment? I think the easiest way that I can do this, without getting into a long academic type of discussion, let's take a young person in athletics. Okay? He runs around with the boys. We'll pick on a boy. Runs around with the boys and has been doing that, say, for the summer. Just having a ball during the summer. Now it's getting close to August. Football team's getting ready to start working out. So he says, okay, I made a decision. I want to play football. I've got to make decisions about it. I can't go out be eating late at night. I got to lay off of the Coca-Colas. I got to lay off of the fast foods. I've got to lay off of all these things. Now, he's not making a judgment about his friends. He's not judging them. He's making an appraisement about his own life. This just is not befitting what I want. I want to be in good condition. I want to be in good shape. I want to be able to function in the last quarter. A football game is generally won on the legs of the fourth quarter. So your legs go in the fourth quarter, so the fourth quarter goes. And if you're filled with Coke, fast food, all this other stuff, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it in that fourth quarter. Your youth and your strength will carry you through three. But in that fourth quarter, it's not going to be there. So you've made an appraisal about what you want, what you're doing, these kind of things. That they do it, no judgment. He's not running them down. He's not attacking them, judging them, they're wrong and all that. He's making an appraisement about himself and his relationship with the Lord. This is what we have to do. And even more so in our society today, people, we're not here to make judgments about homosexuality, about the horrible things going on being taught in our school, evolution and all. We make appraisal about ourselves. It's not what I want. Promiscuity, premarital sex, all this type of stuff. It's not what I want. You're not judging the world. There's only one message we have for the world. Believe in Jesus Christ. Or as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, Christ in whom crucified. That's it. But we make appraisals about our own lives. What we want to do with our time. I want to be in Bible class. I want to study the Word. I want to make decisions honoring to Christ. I want to make decisions that will not interfere with my relationship with the Lord. This is my appraisal. We're not making judgment. Do we know wrong? Do we know sin? Do we know these things? Yes, but we're not here to judge others. We're here to make appraisal about our own lives spiritually. This is what's going on. We can make appraisals. Let me tell you what's wrong with promiscuity and the human soul. Let me tell you what's wrong with homosexuality and the human soul. I can do all of that. I'm not here to judge. I'm here to make appraisement about my own life. And we've, yes. Well, the appraisal might be correct, but in the wrong power. This becomes very important in understanding spirituality. This was one of the great battles that Martin Luther went through in breaking with the Roman Church. You can do a right thing, to put it the old-fashioned way, in a wrong way, and it's wrong. You're going to do a right thing, you've got to do it in the right way. So let's just say I'm not going to steal, because I've been taught morally from my parents, you don't steal. That was just a creed in our home. Money could be left out on the table, and that's the home I reared in. So money could be left out on the table. My brothers would say, I didn't need it. Take his quarter. No, just you don't do it. That's not your money. Now, that's flesh. Is it wonderful? Yeah. We want our neighbors to be moral. We don't want them coming over stealing from us. We appreciate that. But spiritually, in the spiritual warfare, has no impact. None whatsoever. They're not going to, an unbeliever or even a believer is not going to get any kind of reward for what we do in the flesh. It's going to be burned up as wood, hay, and stubble. Well, I know I'm not supposed to do that, so I won't do it. Well, wonderful. Is it a spiritual appraisement or is it a moral appraisement made in the natural man? Because a natural man can be taught right and wrong. And often are, and in today's society, are not really taught the difference between right and wrong. But he can be. So does that help answer that? Okay. So, do we have an understanding of the difference between judging and appraising? And what we want to do, and it's not just a play on words, people. This is real stuff. You can go around judging. Well, you shouldn't be doing that, and you're wrong, and more God's going to get you, and all this kind of stuff, and I'd never do all of that. That's wrong. That's arrogance. That's in the flesh. I've made appraisement about my life with the Lord. I've made appraisement about what I want out of life, in my relationship with the Lord. And therefore, because of that, these decisions are made. So this is the difference between judgment and appraisal. So, yes. I'm sorry? Oh, yeah, that's a whole other, that's a whole other deal if you can teach them. Yeah, that's a whole other deal. So, but you don't judge your friends. And not my illustration of the athlete. He's not judging his friends. He didn't all of a sudden turn into a self-righteous jerk. Well, you shouldn't be drinking coke. You shouldn't be out doing that late. You shouldn't be eating fast food, Jack in the Box at 12 midnight. Shouldn't be eating pizza at 12 midnight watching TV. Shouldn't, no. He's probably thinking, boy, would I love to be doing that. I'd love to be doing that. But I've made an appraisement. I want to be able to function on the football field. So I've got to make these decisions. So now we come over to the spiritual. It's just a human example. It has a lot of breakdowns in it, and I know that. But in the spiritual realm, we're guided by the Holy Spirit in making appraisement about our lives and our lives in relationship to our relationship with the Lord. Okay, now we come to the last phrase. Yet he himself is appraised by no man. All right, this time we have the present passive indicative, anakrino again. He does not receive being appraised by man. People, let me talk to you about Lordship salvation. Lordship salvation is founded on the principle of judging others. That's the whole birth of Lordship salvation. John MacArthur was having problems with people in his church professing to be born-again believers and sinning. Sinnings that really offended him. Sexual sin really offended him. So he decided that they're not saved. I'm a judge now. I've just become a judge. You're not saved. And so he came up with a system of salvation where he could judge who's really saved or not. So, Lordship salvation is founded on judging others. Judging people's lives to determine if they're saved or not. While the true gospel is by faith alone in Christ alone. Not on the grounds of judging or appraising how another person acts or lives. Lordship gospel exalts in being able to judge whether a person is truly a believer in Jesus Christ. The true gospel leaves that up to whom? God. It's up to God. That's it. That's the true gospel. If someone says, I believe in Jesus Christ and are living a sinful life, it's up to God. It's not up to me. Well, you can't really believe. The person says they believe in Jesus Christ. That's it, far as I'm concerned. It's up to God now. It's up to God whether they really did believe in Him. It's up to God their life. All those things are up to God. Nowhere in the Bible are we to judge and evaluate one another as to who's saved and who isn't saved. Now, I can make decision about whether or not they're filled with the Spirit. We can say, well, I know that's not in the Holy Spirit, so your claim is invalid. But people, the Lordship salvation is based on evaluating others. The true gospel leaves that totally up to God and does not dare judge another person. Any type of works gospel, let me just tell you this, any type of works gospel, performance gospel, judges by those standards. You have any kind of performance gospel, it judges by those standards. The true gospel judges no one. If someone says they believe in Jesus Christ, who are we to judge them? We're not. So three principles. One, Paul is not saying that the believer is a law unto himself. Paul is not saying that a believer is a law unto himself when he says is appraised by no one. He is not saying that the Spirit-filled believer is above all authority, even human or divine. He is not saying that. There are people who get so involved in the Holy Spirit and the Spirit-filled life that they draw wrong conclusions. So we got to balance these things out. Paul is not saying that the believer is a law unto himself when he's appraised by no one. He is not saying that the Spirit-filled believer is above all authority, either human or divine. Two, what he is saying is that no one can bring legal charges against a believer in Jesus Christ. What he is saying is that no one can bring legal charges against a believer in Jesus Christ to discredit him before God. And point three, people, this is very important to every one of us. This is very important. Let's go back to Job chapter 1, please. Job chapter 1. This is very important to every one of us. Job chapter 1. Now we're just going to look at verse 7. Not going to work with a lot of things here, but just verse 7. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? Now the Lord knows. Be sure we understand that. He's just drawing attention to what Satan's been doing. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from roaming about on the earth and walking around on it. Now, people, he is not taking a nice stroll in God's creation. Let's be sure we understand that. You and I might take a nice stroll through the woods. That's not what's happening here. He is doing this, looking for believers who violate the law so that he can bring accusations against them before God. Satan is the biggest proponent of the law. Always remember that. He is the biggest proponent of law. And when you get involved in judging others, you have become a servant of Satan, a proponent of the law. This is why he's doing it. Now compare this, let's look at Revelation chapter 12. Those of you who are in the Revelation study, you hear Revelation 12. Well, now let's see. This deals with the contestants. Jesus Christ being born of Israel, and Satan who wants to stop his birth. Powerful chapter in Revelation. It's Revelation 12. But we want to look at verse 10. Revelation 12:10. And I heard a loud voice, John speaking, in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. Now, look what it says. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them, believers, before our God day and night. People, you're being watched 24 hours a day, but not by God. I mean, he sees all things. But if we tell, well, God's going to see everything you're doing, let me tell you who's looking to see everything you're doing. That's Satan. He runs a two-edged sword. That's what the law is, a two-edged sword. See, on the one hand, what he's doing, he wants you to live by law. If you don't live by law, he'll cut you. If you do live by law, that isn't enough, that cuts you. It's a two-edged sword. So this is what Satan does, accusing them before our God day and night. 24 hours he's watching. See whom he can accuse. See who is not doing it right. This is what he wants to do. So when Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:15, let's go back there now. When Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:15, yet he himself is appraised by no man. Only it doesn't say by no man, people. It says by no one. The word anthropos is not there. It doesn't say no man. So it's by no one, by angel or Satan. Who is an angel? By man or by angel? Man or Satan? This goes back to chapter 1, verse 8. Look at chapter 1, verse 8. And our Lord, 1 Corinthians, and our Lord Jesus, who shall now confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Two words of importance. Confirm and blameless. Confirm means sure, fixed, secure, eternal security, which inspires confidence in life. Look at the second word, blameless. Blameless means not only unaccusable, unaccused, it means free from any legal charge. Without charge or accusation. People, this isn't powerful. Christians like to hold it against other Christians. Boy, you're going to answer for these sins. God's going to get you. Look what it says. Look what it says. Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you to the end blameless. To the end blameless. You're confirmed. Fixed. Secure. Eternal security. You're not going to lose it. I get so upset for those people and feel so sorry for those who think you can lose your salvation. First of all, they have a very bad view of God. They do not have the gospel correct. And they live in a life that where they can control people. And then it says blameless means not only unaccusable. When you're blameless, you're unaccusable. You're unaccused, free of any legal charge. Without charge or accusation. This is our position in Christ. This is our position. It amazes me how many Christians, they pick out little verses, but verses like this, no, they don't want to deal with that. They'd rather control people with their sins. People, look what it says. Confirm you blameless. This is how we stand in Christ. Do we sin in the flesh? Yes, we sin. But before God, when God looks at us, we are blameless people in Christ. These things have to be taken care of experientially, and that's why it's by faith, not by anything you and I do. Simple faith. This is our position in Christ. No one can accuse the believer in Christ. In Christ, we are perfect because we share His perfection. Look at 1 Corinthians 4 coming up. 1 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. But to me, it is a very small thing that I should be examined by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even examine myself. I am conscious of nothing against myself, yet I am not by this acquitted, but by the one who examines me, that is the Lord. Powerful passage. So, no one can use 1 Corinthians 2:15 to set themselves above human authority. No one can use 1 Corinthians 2:15 to set themselves above human authority. For an example, we have Romans 13, where it makes it very clear we are subject to human law. Zodiates, he is now home with the Lord. He's a Greek, wonderful scholar, written several different help type books. He's written a lexicon, Greek lexicon, and different Hebrew lexicon, and different things. But I like the way he comments now. I know from personal experience, sitting there listening to someone read is very difficult. You can't really keep up. Try to listen to what Zodiates says. Quote, personal judgment, even for the spiritual man, cannot be the only criterion of decision or action. There is God's written revelation to consider, as well as the living Christ within him who must reign supreme. So he's talking about three things we have going on inside of us. We have one, the Holy Spirit, two, the Word of God, and three, Christ himself when he is indwells us. Continuing Zodiates. It is possible, it's going to be very important, for even the spiritual person to grieve the Holy Spirit. Someone who's walking in the filling of the Spirit to grieve the Holy Spirit by allowing the natural man to spring up, and I love that, so just boom, all of a sudden, just spring up when its desires in opposition to the spiritual man. A spirit-filled person, therefore, this is important, cannot assume that he is flawless and that his judgment is absolute. Always be careful of someone who claims absoluteness. It must be made subject to the Holy Spirit of God within him, whose leading cannot be contrary to the revealed written word, nor does Paul's declaration authorize anyone to say, I am a spiritual leader, which gives me the right to impose my will on others, for I cannot be wrong, end quote. The Roman Catholic Church is built on this. The Pope, cannot, when he speaks ex cathedra, cannot be wrong. People, that's wrong. You always want to be careful. Walking in the Spirit is wonderful, powerful, but we can make mistakes. The flesh can zip in there. Now, let me read it one more time without any editorial remark. The personal judgment, even for the spiritual man, cannot be the only criterion of decision and action. There is God's written revelation to consider, as well as the living Christ within him who must reign supreme. It is possible for even the spiritual person to grieve the Holy Spirit by allowing the natural man to spring up with its desires in opposition to the spiritual man. A spirit-filled person, therefore, cannot assume that he is faultless and that his judgment is absolute. It must be made subject to the Holy Spirit of God within him, whose leading cannot be contrary to the revelation revealed written in the Word of God. Nor does Paul's declaration authorize anyone to say, I am a spiritual leader, which gives me the right to impose my will on others, for I cannot be wrong, end quote. So people, we have to be very careful. This is why we live by faith. This is why we live by faith. one may claim the leading of the Holy Spirit and miss it. And miss it. When I first started teaching spirituality by faith, living the spiritual life, many of my old friends, the old way of thinking, you know, well, you know, that's too mystical and all of that. You can't be sure at all of this type of thing. Oh, and your walking by knowledge of Scripture is working? Well, yeah. People, to walk by Scripture, to claim that, that would mean I have to know all Scripture, because I can make some conclusions based on the Scripture I know. Yeah, but what about this verse over here? Oh, well, I didn't know that. Or, how do they don't seem to work in the same deal. People, that's not going to be a clear cure-all either. So one may claim the leading of the Holy Spirit and miss it, but also one may claim the authority of the Word of God and miss it. We know there are different ways of seeing the truth of the Word of God. So you can take two people and they see the Scripture this way, the other sees it another way. So even that's not going to be a solution to fault. So we strive in our lives to be led of the Holy Spirit, guided by the truth of Scripture. This is why it is so difficult to find a Bible teacher you can really rely on. This is not just because he's a preacher, because he dresses nicely, looks nicely, talks nicely, all this other stuff. People, it's difficult to find a good Bible teacher. I still will look at various commentaries and things, and I go, no, that's not what I'm looking for. This is good. These type of things. But it's difficult to find a good Bible teacher. Some have a wonderful charisma. That's where I think, in the passage that we studied in chapter 1 and coming up again in chapter 3, by the way, I'm of Apollo. Well, there are people just were taken with Apollos. He was just wonderful. Very strong charisma. Some have credentials of authority. I'm a Peter. Well, he walked with the Lord. I'm a Peter. And some have knowledge. I'm a Paul. You can get off on all of these wrong tracks. Certainly you desire one who has knowledge, continuing to grow in knowledge, continuing to study the Word of God. I personally know a pastor who's now home with the Lord. He reached a point where he actually said, I don't have to study anymore. I've got it. And I just slapped my forehead. I go, I can't believe that. Every time I open this book, Old Testament, New Testament, even things I've already studied, I see new things in it. It's exciting. I just cannot understand that kind of an attitude. So we certainly want someone who has knowledge. It's like we've seen. We certainly want someone who believes that this book is a divinely inspired, inerrant, plenary, infallible Word of God. But that doesn't guarantee seeing the truth. But it's a really good start. It's a really good start, but it doesn't guarantee. So, these are so many things we have to be careful about. Just because someone says, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, listen to me. Well, fine, but you have the Holy Spirit in you. You listen. And we don't know where the flesh zips up and captures that thinking. So, even claiming the filling of the Holy Spirit does not mean and does not give anyone absolute truth. We learn by faith. We walk by faith. We live by faith, people. I trust Him. When I sit at my desk to study this book, I trust Him. I trust the Holy Spirit to lead. Trust the Holy Spirit. But people, that doesn't mean that I'm absolute correct on everything. We go by the truth of the Word. But that doesn't even mean that. Because there might be another verse. There might be another passage that I'm not aware of. So we're growing. This is the mature of chapter 2, verse 6. Mature. We start learning, putting things together. And pretty soon we start seeing these things go together. And start interlocking. This is why you want to be very careful whom you choose to listen to in the teaching of the Word of God. Are they consistent? Do they understand the Old Testament? Do they understand the New Testament? Better if they understand the languages, but not absolutely necessary. They're generally subservient to those who do, if they want to understand some words and things. But that's not absolutely, well, our pastor, he knows Greek and Hebrew. Well, wonderful. That's nice. What does he do with it? What does he see with it? These are the kinds of things that you have to rely on in your own filling of the Spirit. I know people that say, I don't know, but if so-and-so teaches it, that's it. That's it. No, people, you don't want to ever do that. You don't give anybody that position. You have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to make appraisal for yourself. To make spiritual appraisement yourself about truth, about what God is doing. Okay, now we come to verse 16. And verse 16 has a primary problem. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ? So I don't want to just spend a few minutes here and then have to stop. So we'll do 1 Corinthians, and I'm glad we'll just have the whole next hour just to deal with this one verse. Because, people, it's complicated. There are different views on what is the mind of Christ, different teachings on what is the mind of Christ. We want to understand it. And I'll just start you off by letting you know it's a quote. It's a quote from the Old Testament. So what we're going to have to do is spend some time in Isaiah chapter 40. And I recommend that before next Sunday morning, you read Isaiah chapter 40. And then read this passage, Isaiah 40, 12 through 15. And then read this passage. And just see how the Spirit may lead you in understanding. So we'll take up, but we have the mind of Christ next Sunday morning. And so that's where we'll resume. Let's close in a word of prayer. Wow. Father, we know why you gave us salvation. We know why you sent your Son. Because we know in truth about ourselves. We need a Savior. We cannot save ourselves. But Heavenly Father, as we start examining, we see now we need the Holy Spirit. And we need Him every hour. We need Him for everything. So we see now why you sent us your Spirit. And Father, it's our purpose to live in the Spirit, to be guided in the Spirit. We know we'll fail. We know we'll stumble and get a bloody nose. That's why we just continue to walk by faith, growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the knowledge of the Word of God, living in the Holy Spirit, striving to become mature. We might make proper appraisals about ourselves and our lives, what you're doing. Father, pray you'll take the things we've seen this morning, have them become a reality in our soul and our lives, that we may glorify Christ. In His precious name we pray. Amen.